Breaking up is never easy, but saying goodbye to your old clunky work tools, well, that's easy. Just repeat after me. It's not me, it's definitely you. You rigid, unfriendly software. It's time to freshen things up with Monday.com, the first work platform you'll love to use. With stunning dashboards, customizable templates, and built-in AI that actually works, switching to a new work platform has never felt this good. So move on to Monday.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. So how do you find amazing candidates fast? Simple. Just use Indeed. Stop wasting time with other job sites that aren't getting your posts seen. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top, getting in front of the right candidates fast. And it works. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs get 45% more applications than non-sponsored ones. Join the 3.5 million employers worldwide who are hiring great talent with Indeed. Best part? No monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of the show will get a £100 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/show. Just go to Indeed.com/show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/show. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
It's Philosophy versus Improv. This is Mark Lintzenmeyer, come before you with a briefcase of philosophical topics from which we may choose at random.
And this is Bill Arnett, coming to you with a mere envelope full of nothing but your own ideas of what could be in there. Ooh, how do you like that?
Related to improvisation is the point.
Related to improvisation, correct.
You know what? You could just not even improv today because we brought a guest on. Introduce yourself, please.
Yes, my name is Mary Hines. My comedy moniker is Mary Mary because I figured for all the times I was teased with the Mary Mary quite contrary, I was like, you know what? That's branding and I receive it. Thank you. Everyone hold for the hyphenates. I'm an actor, improviser, MC, stage manager, tech director, teacher, director, deviser, writer, producer, and pet sitter.
Have you added to that since we talked yesterday?
I did. I added devising. You're a good active listener, Mark.
I thought there was some sort of division going on in there.
I was like, wait a second. Let me honor the fact that I create theater out of thought. Okay. I need to honor that. Thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
How's the pet sitting going? We actually brought you on here to talk pet sitting.
Sure. No, you know what's funny? When I decided, I was like, wait a second. I was like, let me like take a moment to collect the inventory of all the different plates that I spin. And I was like, I have to have the pet sitting in there. And I was like, you know what? They're going to want to talk about the pet sitting. Pet sitting's going great. You know, I grew up with animals. I like animals more than most people, right? Like there's just something about them. And in my family, we call it the Dr. Doolittle. And my dad and I have the Dr. Doolittle. Like,
sure.
Right? Like, it's kind of like a game sees game situation. And the critters are like, yo, you good human. Come here, give me scritches. So I was doing that as like a part-time gig. And I was doing sales in Beverly Hills. And I hated it because, you know, as much as I love being condescended to by wealthy Beverly Hillsians.
Yes.
I was getting ready to quit that and go full-time with the pet sitting.
Sure.
And then the universe was like, hey, Mary, it's going to happen sooner than you think because the company eliminated my position, which was delightful. And then I went full time with the pet sitting a year and a half ago. I made all the branding to be the Hollywood pet whisperer because I live in Hollywood. And I was like, that's cute.
Sure.
And then one of my clients called me Mary Puppins. And that, I know, that was like a wowie zowie, so accurate. Because that's how I am. Like, there are lots of improvised songs.
Sure.
Like, there's fun and dancing and also rules are rules. Children, sit down for your dinner. So it's going really well.
Yeah. Mark, Socrates, dog or cat? What are we thinking? What's he got? Does history know if Socrates had a pet?
Oh, I just thought you were saying if he were a dog or a cat, which is also great.
Socrates would neglect whatever animal it was. He neglected his actual family, so he would not even see it.
maybe an alley cat, just hopping in the window and then hopping back out again to catch a mouse.
I guess he could have a dog that follows him around.
Okay.
But that's not referred to in any of the Plato's writings, at least.
Fair enough. Fair
I feel
enough.
Like Freud probably had a really bitchy cat, and he was just so upset that he wasn't getting the affection that he wanted that it fueled all of his other discoveries.
I could see him having like a fancy parrot, but just as an affectation.
Yeah.
Not that he enjoyed it, but he felt he needed to have some exotic bird in his office in a cage.
In a cage.
I think we should focus here. I mean, Mary, we brought you here because we have an unusual pet. And I know that you've done a lot of pet sitting in the Hollywood area where we live. And you probably run into a lot of couples that are at least as famous as Bill and I are, but maybe not with exactly... What's your experience with exotic animals?
So the most exotic, said with air quotes, animals I've had, a pig named Bella, and I don't know how to communicate how big she is. Like, she is big, big girl. And she lives in West Hollywood.
Okay.
And they have like a little like backyard area that's perfectly curated for her. And she's a happy girl and she's well tended to. And it's a good situation. So Bella the pig. And then most recently, I took care of chickens and bunnies in Laurel Canyon.
Okay.
So that's the most exotic. I've been manifesting some reptile and like arachnid clients because I would love someone with an iguana or like some tarantulas or some jumping spiders or something like that. Mm-hmm.
They may not need a ton of attention, but I know what you mean.
Have you ever been a jumping spider, Bill? Have you ever been an iguana?
I have seen them on television.
Uh-huh. No, I hear what you're saying. But everybody needs their crickets and they need their sunlight. I don't know. Don't ruin this for me, Bill.
I did know someone who had a chameleon.
Yeah.
And it was cool seeing it eat. But everyone, do it again, do it. Like, it would stick its tongue out, of course, and like grab a cricket, you know, out of his fingers from, 2 feet away. He's like, you know, this is more than he ever gets fed. We usually feed him like two crickets a week. And that's like all the chameleon needed. Yeah. So it was Christmas for that.
Well,
I
also market myself as a house manager with thumbs. The reason I qualify it with thumbs is, one, it's good for people to know that you have thumbs, but more because like the animals, like one of them tends to be more of like a bossy alpha. And to me, I concede to them like this is your home. I'm just here to visit and make sure you're happy. But the house sitting and the taking in the packages and watering the plants and making sure nobody steals your stuff while you're away and all that.
When Bill set this up with you, Mary, did he tell you what kind of animal Trudy is?
I'm so ready to find out what Trudy is.
So, all right, let's
bring Trudy out, everyone.
She looks a little strange. She's a little shy. She is an axolotl.
Yeah.
You know, almost chameleon-y.
They don't want any of your chitty chat. Like, they don't. Yeah, no.
But a very large, when I show photos, people say, you must have generated that by AI because no axolotl clearly is this large.
Hi.
Hey, honey.
Are you going to take care of me?
Yeah. Hey, honey. I got you some of your favorite dry, crusty shrimp. You want some pinches of crusty shrimp?
At mealtime. I don't want anything now.
Oh, no.
You came prepared with food for all the possible animals?
I just thought you might want a little treaty treat because you're such a good girl.
I'm not always a good girl. Sometimes I'm bad.
Oh, look at your little... I love how you...
Those are my gills. That's how I breathe. Don't touch them. Don't touch them. No. It hurts. It's very painful.
No, honey. I won't touch them.
Now, you have to be very careful of Trudy's ego. I'm surprised that I'm really glad that Bill wasn't talking about that chameleon when Trudy was in the room, because pretty much even just talking about another animal just sets her off, that she wants so much attention. It's really unusual for this kind of creature.
I don't think I have the right outfits for Trudy. I feel.
Do you play cards?
Solitaire and war.
Pinochle. Cribbage? You know cribbage?
Go fish? I mean, I can learn for you.
Go fish.
See, oh, go fish.
That's, go fish.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a jerk.
Offensive.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Trudy, I'm so...
I am not a fish. Never have been a fish.
I'm not saying that, honey. I'm so sorry. I'm a stupid human. Here, do you want to bring your hand out of the water and give me a little slap?
I abhor physical violence.
Wow.
You like the little... We call them meal fishies. So the little fishies that she can eat are okay. It's just not fish as like pure.
Guys, I'm not okay. I don't feel safe.
Mark, did you give Mary my strict dietary guidelines and feeding schedule?
I thought I got the doc, but I guess it's missing.
I hadn't gotten to that point yet. I was still feeling out her overall comfort level. with this kind of experience and qualifications. I think your qualifications are excellent. It's really just a matter of if you can handle Trudy's various quirks.
Oh, I do see the quirk list, but it's a little bit blurry. What's quirk number three? I can't make it out.
So that's the one about how you always have to make sure that at night that she gets the special song.
Special song.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is there an audio track or can I like make up a melody and just make sure like I hit the rhyming?
Well, yeah. It can be any number of songs, but it has to be about axolotls victorious, axolotls ruling the earth, the future where the axolotls will.
Okay, can I give it? I'm going to give it a try right now.
The humans. Okay.
Who's my little crabby cutie beauty? You're my little crabby cutie beauty.
Is it nighttime?
You'll
is it,
take is the sun over up? Empires. Do it with your pants on fire, Trudy.
It's not nighttime yet, but that would be sufficient when it is nighttime.
See, that's good. I think you passed that. I think you could probably handle. And we do have to vary it up. He likes the different scenarios of the ways in which the axolotls kill the humans. You know, you want to vary those up every song.
Understandable. Yeah, no, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's plenty of destruction going on the planet that I think I have a lot of source material to pull from that will also be relevant. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you're going to hire me.
We're not extinct. You know that, right?
Well, yeah, you're right there, Trudes.
Well, there's other axolotls in nature.
That's why you're so angry, huh?
Not as large as you. It's true. We've never actually seen or heard of one as large as you.
Is she large or is she space appropriate? You know, this is a pretty big tank. Like, this is like half of this guest room. I feel like she's pretty relative to scale to her environs.
I believe I may be the size of all other axolotls on Earth combined.
Wow, what a treat.
Yeah, so as you saw when she entered, that we've got half of this room is her tank, but then also the entirety of the second bedroom is her tank, that she can go through that little hole in the wall that you saw her come
out of. That's an impressive little, Trudy, please don't be offended, but like a little like gopher tunnel, you know, a little hamster tunnel setup. You got a little discovery zone playhouse kind of situation.
Can you think of an aquatic animal that likes tunnels and caves? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Moray, eel, I was thinking, but.
Sure. You know what? I'm a stupid human. And what about another, you know, you don't like slapping.
I abhor violence. Okay. Unless it's axolotls conquering. It will not be a violent takeover.
I hope that you'll accept me as a friend when the axolotls take over.
That will be the decision of the council.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, see, that was a number nine quirk, that though he abhors violence, he wants the violence to have occurred and likes to sort of hear about it in terms of it occurring to the humans. But it's important for him to keep his fins clean.
I notice you keep on using the pronoun he. Are you non-binary, Trudy?
It depends on the water temperature.
Sure, sure. You know what? I'm non-binary myself. And, you know, so I'm here to support all gender expressions.
Hot showers or cold showers?
Sure. They do change things, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That was quirk number 26. I mean, Trudy is usually female, but I kind of just eyeball it sentence to sentence and make a call. I'm not always right.
Wow, eyeball, huh?
Does it matter if I'm alone? Does it matter what my gender is?
Trudy, it does matter. It matters to me. End scene.
That felt like the end. Phil looked profoundly sad at that comment.
Wow, Trudy.
I saw on Facebook one of those AI-generated giant axolotls that, you know, somebody's holding. And, like, there's no way this is real. This is ridiculous.
But the, like, Finnish rabbits are real, you know, and, like, Maine Coon cats are real.
Mm-hmm. Those are just two examples of large species of animals, the domesticated animals.
The great algorithm has been sending me videos of a very misbehaved cats. I go into the vet and just like, it's funny, but not fun. I mean, the cat is clearly under distress and the poor vet has to do their job. Just hissy and spinning and running around and jumping and clawing. And the vet's got big, like welding gloves on.
Yeah. And they like, I've seen some of that too. Our algorithms are in cahoots. Cause I've seen some of that too. And like, it's this, and this one guy in particular, it's like his job to groom difficult critters.
Yeah. Bless yeah. Him. You can't tell an animal generally, the pain you experience now will lead to less pain later.
Yeah, it's so hard.
I haven't confessed this on a podcast before, but I have in my life,
confession,
not in my home, a cat that will not let anybody touch her. And it's, yes. It's my father's, my ailing, my 94-year-old father's remaining cat.
Sure.
He had two cats. The other one was getting underfoot too much, and like he was making his, you know, he's going to trip over him and running out in the hall. And so he went off to my sister's in California. But the remaining cat, yes, nobody can pick her up. Nobody. So when I eventually inherit this cat or have to deal with it, or somehow my sister will come in from California and take her to the vet once a year. But I don't know what I'm going to do. The few times I've had to get a hold of her, you just can't do it.
And then cats know, well, all animals in general, they sense, you know, they can like smell your anxiety and your fear and your trepidation. And when that gets into cat brain, that just makes them more like, ugh, subservient peasant of a human.
Yeah. We got a cat from a one of these humane societies, and it was an old house here in Chicago that they had turned every room in this house, like a three-flat apartment building, but they turned every little individual room closed off with sliding glass doors with different categories of animal. Oh, here's the special needs cats. Here's the kittens. Here's the, you know, here's the rowdy cats. Here's the
categories.
Yes, exactly. Well, and I went into one of the rooms, and there were no cats on the ground, and it took me a while to realize they were all up on shelves away from each other, on like high shelves, and just very crisp curled up, just staring at me and each other.
How dare you infiltrate the
room? What room is this? What's going on in here? And like, that's the old lady cat room.
Yes, old lady cat room.
And they're just all just grouchy spinsters, and they just don't want to do any deal with anything.
Amazing.
I think that's what you got, Mark. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter was talking a lot about, was living in Minneapolis and was talking about the cat cafe that they have there. And I'm wondering what other cat display related businesses you might try to have the cat mechanic, the cat target.
Cat redecorator.
Yeah.
Cat interior decorator, I should clarify.
Does the interior decorator that is presumably coming to someone else's house bring the cats?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously.
The cat just bolts under the couch and never comes out, but it's there. Yeah.
Is part of your redecoration.
Yeah. It's a very slow reupholstery process.
Yeah.
Notice you're getting older. You look like you could use a few dozen cats. We're just going to.
I love cats. Like, I have a lot of reverence for cats. I like to think in terms of like what animal I would be. That's always been one of my favorite like dating questions or like get to know you questions. But in terms of like, if I were a dog, I would be a Great Dane. Like I'm 6 feet tall. I'm really long. I'm like goofy. So I feel like the dogs get my Great Dane energy and like I can make an instant connection with dogs. Cats, I love them. And they also intimidate me because it's a different filter, right? Like it's a totally different kind of care flow and like attitude, like mindset. Like I'm next to you, but don't touch me unless I tell you you can touch me. And if you touch me for too long and in the wrong place, I'm going to scratch the shit out of you. Whereas dogs are like, yeah, I love you so much. I feel real good. Thank you so much. I love you.
No subtlety.
No subtlety. Kind of like me. Like when I love big, I love a lot.
Have y'all ever been to a cat cafe?
Not yet, really.
I have, and I can only imagine in my short time there that they are going to vary greatly from community to community, primarily because of the whatever that city or county or state's rules are regarding having food and animals together.
Sure.
And you might imagine there are generally no is the answer to having food and animals if you ask the local health inspector. So the one I went to is that all the food was in one room and then you were welcome if you wished. This is not a requirement. You may take your coffee and donut over to the adoption center, which is not directly affiliated with the Cat Cafe LLC. It was all this kind of weird legalese to make sure they would pass their health inspection. Now, again, every community has got very different health rules and things, and I'm sure workarounds. But it was a little like, well, I want the cat on the counter while I'm ordering my food. You know, I want this whole immersive cat experience. I wouldn't be here if I didn't mind hair in my coffee. Sure. You know, it's like I know what I'm getting into. But Big Brother, no.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want a cat peeing in my coffee.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. Not my favorite flavor. The acidity is too high.
We must stop because it's time for advertisements. Today's show is brought to you by our sponsor, Surfshark VPN. Secure your privacy with Surfshark. Go to surfshark.com/improv for 4 extra months of Surfshark. You know, internet security, it's more crucial than ever. Protect your online life with military-grade encryption to enjoy a secure, unrestricted internet experience. With Surfshark VPN, you can shield your data on public Wi-Fi, avoid identity theft and fraud. It keeps you safe, even in the most insecure online environments. Just yesterday, I was at a hotel, and I had Surfshark installed. I connected to the hotel Wi-Fi, and Surfshark spoke up, said, "Stop that. Those bastards are going to steal your data." So I just selected the nearest server to connect to, and bam, I was protected. But, you know, I didn't have to select the one nearest to me. I could select any of their servers in many, many countries, allowing me to access content from all over the world, things that are not normally available in the U.S. For instance, if you are on Netflix, just try it. Try connecting to the U.K. and then booting up your Netflix and see what options. Or tell it you're in India or Japan or any other number of places. You're going to find that your little Netflix subscription gets you access to a lot more than you thought. It's time to take control of your online security. Try Surfshark risk-free today and enjoy their 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to surfshark.com/improv for 4 extra months of Surfshark. That's code IMPROV at surfshark.com. The URL and code can be found in our show notes. I also want to tell you about Bazigo, as in the buzz of insects, the ee when you are bitten, and go is what this product, the Bazigo Iris, is going to allow you to say to those mosquitoes that have gotten into your home. The Bazigo Iris is your smart home mosquito detector. Now, one of the founders of this company had a daughter who was allergic to mosquitoes, and he wanted a safe and effective way to keep them away. And he had to invent it. This is a cutting-edge device. It uses computer vision and AI to detect, track, and pinpoint mosquitoes in real time. No more guessing, no more swatting at thin air, just a simple, precise way to take control of your space. So it's a little doohickey you put next to your bed, next to your child's bed. You could take it to a hotel. And Bazigo does ship worldwide, so anywhere where you're having a problem with mosquitoes getting in your living space, set this up and it's going to scan the room 24/7, even in total darkness. And when it detects a mosquito, Bazigo uses an eye-safe laser to pinpoint its exact location. And it can send a real-time notification to the Bazigo app on your phone. So you can get right up there and smush that bug so it's not there waiting for you when you go to sleep to suck your blood. So this is, of course, totally chemical-free, eco-friendly. And if you want, you can also purchase the Bazigo Swatter so that once the little sucker is detected, you can reach up there with this stick and quietly zap it. Stop losing sleep over mosquitoes. Take back your nights with Bazigo. Go to bazigo.com/discount/buzz10 and save 10% off. That's bazigo.com/discount/buzz10. Use the code buzz10 to get 10% off. Say goodbye to itchy bites and sleepless nights. Thank you, Bazigo, for sponsoring this episode. So this is sort of bringing to mind, as a philosophical issue, the sharing our spaces with animals and what this reveals about us and the amount to which we have or have not or have expectations of others to conform to social norms and not, you know, get in everybody else's face, pee in other people's coffee. That, of course, if you recognize, if you explain, oh, my young brother or whatever has... Even if you just say that they have a developmental disorder or something like that, then people will, okay, I didn't realize that you're not actually breaking the law, like that this is somebody who's in a special case. But of course, animals, yes, they have to be service animals. You would have to rise to the level of human behavior. I will stay in line. I will not make eye contact with people in an unwanted way.
This makes me think of a term when you're talking about, like, you know, coming into someone's home who has animals and ownership, like, I own this pet. There's a term that's the cornerstone of my pet sitting business. It's a Hawaiian word and it's kahu, K-A-H-U. And I'm going to paraphrase the definition a little bit. Feel free to Google it and look it up. But it basically means a kahu is someone who tends to another. It also means pastor. The concept is, like, for Trudy, like, I don't own Trudy. I'm a kahu for Trudy. I'm there to tend to Trudy's joy. And it's funny because normally it's supposed to be two ways where Trudy tends to mine. And Trudy can do whatever she wants. That she might be a bad example, but more in terms of a dog. Like there's that philosophy of transaction of care instead of I own this animal.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I think is lovely because I think humans can be real assholes thinking they own everything.
And no warranty on the cat that it will love you back.
Yeah, there's no warranty. That never...
Yeah, no guarantee.
We rushed to production, and so the warranty, we weren't able to get the warranty intact and go through legal, so no warranty.
The dog, you can be mostly sure. At least you could tell before you decide to adopt the dog or not. But the cat, just roll the dice.
And I will say for anyone listening, so much love and respect for cat people. I enjoy cats as well, but, you know, I'm just saying, I'm not throwing any hate or shade on our cat-loving friend.
We are a cat family
here. I love cats. In Chicago. I just respect them. I respect, they kind of intimidate me a little bit.
I understand. I think I appreciate the fact that if something were to happen, if it was the end times, World War III, I feel like the cat could fend for itself.
Mm-hmm. And eat you, probably.
Yeah, well, I've told them.
That's where I thought you were going with that.
Yeah, me too, Mark. Me too.
Well, I have told them explicitly, should I die in the night, that they cannot eat my eyeballs. I fear they would, or I think one would, and one would might reluctantly once the first one.
Why specifically your eyeballs? Why do you feel the need to protect them once you've kicked the bucket?
I have heard that when bodies are attacked by animals, it's usually soft tissues and groins and eyeballs that...
do you plan on using them later?
No, but I'm just saying I would rather the people who come find me my groins and eyeballs be groins, plural, like groin and eyeballs be
understandable.
They just nibble on my thigh a little bit.
Yeah,
or something,
what if like a little thigh or a little bicep?
Yeah.
Sure.
We will all leave a corpse. I would rather mine not be as peaceful as possible.
It's very respectful of you, Bill.
Usually I record the ads after the show and insert them, but since you're bringing this up, our sponsor this week is Eye Goggles. As a sleep, they're for sleeping, and they're specifically, they're not okay for swimming, but they will keep your animal from eating your eyeballs if you happen to pass away in the night. So if you're like most of our listeners, if you live alone and you'll die alone, Eye Goggles might be for you.
Sure.
They should have a better name than that.
I mean, there's no mystery. There's no mystery about what they do, right?
Yeah.
The cat consumption prevention device.
Mm-hmm.
CCPD.
Mm-hmm. CCPT.
Yeah, okay.
And don't think for a second you can just go down and buy a regular swim goggles or a mask and think that'll work.
You're not going to be able to sleep comfortably in that.
No.
We think it's very important for everyone to come on down to Cat Eye Goggle Emporium in order to try on and select your postmortem protective eyewear in the luxury of our Main Street warehouse.
That's good. I'll use that.
You think that's good? That's going to be good for the advertisement? Because
I think so.
All right. I just want to try it out.
I'm just not going to read the offer code just so that they can demand a make good. I love when advertisers do that, when you don't read it quite right and they demand you give them another one free. So I like to leave something out just to see if they're paying attention because it establishes an ongoing relationship.
It's a trap.
That's sneaky.
And then once you have that ongoing relationship, you can be like, oh, so sorry about that. Oh, that was terrible of me. You see the game last night?
Yeah, wow. Exactly.
Hey,
are you doing later?
Look at this sparkly thing over here.
Yeah.
So I look for sponsors that I think might be a good hang. And it seemed like somebody who's making this kind of product. I mean, I want to hang out with those people.
Mm-hmm. Like if your brain is able to think of protective postmortem cat goggles, then what else is hiding in your gray matter fold?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to know. Honestly, I'm a little scared to know what other ideas might be in there.
Maybe you've run into this too, Mary. Bill has raised in voiceover sort of improv-related gigs that he's gotten. If he has a sponsor, you know, who they're like, oh, why don't you just riff something? Why don't you, because they're looking for you to basically be their writer
and not
pay you for that. Yeah, they don't want you to just read the copy. Have you run into that? Are you on the lookout when you accept a ad reading position for companies that will vulture-like take your ideas and eat the eyes out of them?
I see what you did there. I like it. Here's a bit of a blessing and a curse of being a professional improviser and a writer. So I'll get these audition requests and the copy makes no sense. Like what they're asking for makes no sense. They're like, we're looking for someone that's going to be like a Tina Fey or a Kristen Wiig with some Gal Gadot. Like what? Like I don't think they know what they're talking about. And then they'll just do these like, we want you to read it like excited, but grounded. Like, what are you talking about? So really they're just asking you to make a choice. But yeah, so often I'll get this copy and I'm like, this is hot garbage.
They don't know what they want. They'll know it when they see it, but they can't say that.
Ugh.
They feel they can't say that. Well, yeah. What do you mean? You got to, and it's a whole big mess, and there may be actors who are like, well, you got to tell me something to shoot for. And then they might be like, well, we can't say that. But then again, we also don't want to look powerless or like we don't know what we want. So there's this big triangle of all kinds of, I don't know even what emotions.
Yeah, it's so so frustrating. Yeah. Like, if you tell me with specificity what you want, I will deliver that. Like, I will gladly take, I love being directed. Like, oh my gosh, please tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And I'll deliver that. But I really think, you know, as my career continues to grow, I'm focusing more on looking at the copy, reading what they want, trusting my theater degree and my expertise in improvisation and acting, making a choice and delivering it in a way where I feel happy with what I've offered for their consideration.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to make it make sense because it's
any commercial you see on television, unless it's some kind of celebrity who's doing it and they reached out to them specifically, hundreds of different people read for those things. I don't know. I feel like there should be an easier way of doing it, but that's how those things happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get many of those jobs because I insist on my animals sharing my public space, and that includes all recordings. So at some point during every podcast, as you know, I invite the cockatoo on. The cockatoo has to say a few things. So if I'm going to read ad copy, the cockatoo has to participate in that. It's not negotiable.
Wait, is this a bit or do you really have a cockatoo?
I don't.
Really, I was so ready for you to have a cockatoo and then I just ruined the bit. Oh, no.
The bit was heading in dangerous directions because
I must have felt it with my spidey senses.
I do not want to have it do a cockatoo voice.
Well, you're not going to get booked with that attitude, Mark. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm being so extra snarky with both of you today.
I guess
it's love.
Leading
it's love.
On the on all job applications of I will not do a cockatoo voice.
Well, it's actually pretty funny. I grew up with an African gray parrot named Gandalf. And we adopted Gandalf. He lived on a military base, but the military base was closing. So Gandalf needed a home. Gandalf came to us with the name Casper. But my super delightful nerd family was like, absolutely not. You are Gandalf. So we would just be sitting in the room, in the living room, hanging out. And then Gandalf would do things to incite action in a peaceful space. So be really quiet, really quiet. And you would just hear, Gandalf would burp. Burping is a thing that I do, even though my mother hates it. Gandalf would burp and then laugh in my voice and then look to everyone for a reaction. And my mother would be giving me what we call in my family, the hairy eyeball, you know, which is the like brows furrowed, like, don't you dare say anything. And Gandalf would wait for our reaction. So we constantly had background chatter in the form of Gandalf processing what he wanted and trying to make trouble.
Birds are weird. I'm going to say it.
Birds are weird. Birds are very weird. They are.
So we're all thinking it.
Yeah. I love them. They're very weird.
Yeah.
Speaking as someone who is weird, I'm just calling out.
It's fine. They're smarter than you think they should be, but then they have weird attitudes and very distinct personalities.
With a can opener on the end of their face for when they get
Yes.
Yeah.
The bird segment of our audience, I think, will be okay with everything you said here so far.
I don't care. Bird people are just as weird. Let that thing hop around the house, crapping all over the counter. Come on now.
But cats are fine all over the counters, just not birds.
Yes, there is. They have done scientific research that when a cat sits down, its butt does not touch what it's sitting on.
I've never seen a parrot's butt touch a countertop when they're walking around.
I've seen its poop touch a countertop when it's walking
around. I've seen your poop touch a countertop when you're walking around.
This is inspiring me to be summoned to our recurring location. The song is coming on. It's time to go to Empty Street. It's time to go to Empty Street. It's time to go to Empty Street, where the streets are full of basically nothing. It's the combination Taco Bell. What are the other things?
Pizza Hut.
Taco Bell, gas station, convenience store.
Pizza Hut convenience store.
On the side of a Subway.
Not Pizza Hut.
Subway.
They're adding it. You know, I've just been thinking, Glenn, that we need to have some kind of animal for the place running around.
Yeah. Hey, Bert, here's the thing. There's a lot of rules around having animals in places where there's food. And if it's not a service animal, there's just rules about having
animals. I brought in a consultant just to talk to you. It's just a friend of mine that
how
I...
How did you find a consultant?
A consultant. She's very into animals.
Found me on Craigslist. Hello. Hello.
Hi. I'm the manager of the facility here.
Constance Mayweather. Nice to meet you. I see. What is that on your name tag? What's your name?
It's Glenn.
Glenn.
I'm Glenn.
We just call him Glenn, or the boss, they sometimes call him.
Glenn, you don't need to be nervous.
I'm not. I just have a lot to attend to. I'm not nervous. It's fine.
Well, I will add, if I may, that it's also very important to tend to the emotional safety of your loyal customer base.
Well, we're kind of on the side of the highway in the middle of nowhere. We don't really have much repeat business except for Bert. So we're not too... I understand wanting to be, yeah.
So my voice should count a little more. I think, yes, I mean, sir. We need least one animal, but one animal might even not be enough.
I think it might be nice. Let me assess the feng shui of the convenience mart. Hold on one second.
It's nice high ceilings.
Oh, Slim Jim. You have a whole Slim Jim kiosk. That's charming.
Yeah.
Maybe not like a package opening badger. That kind of thing.
Okay,
maybe
right now we're not there yet. Assessment place. Thank you so much. Let me do my job. Okay.
And her rates are very reasonable.
Sure,
Glenn,
of course.
Are you paying for this, Bert?
It's your establishment. I just figured you'd...
I see you have a very nice cappuccino machine. It's very classy. Very classy. And
I mean, corporate covers this kind of stuff, right?
Such a variety of chip options available.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's your standard. You've been in one. You've been in all of them.
Right.
Combination Taco Bell.
You know, the aesthetic,
Subway.
The aesthetic that I'm getting here is maybe an armadillo.
An armadillo.
Armadillo, you know?
Something truck driver-y.
Right. Like cute little grizzled whiskers and, you know, they like to just root around in dirt, right? We can make a little pen right out here out front.
They're armored, right?
They are. They are armored.
So there you go.
A lot of violence that happens at this quick mall. I don't know if I can recommend an animal that's going to be in harm's way.
It's just for insurance purposes. Just to, you know, you get a discount if you're if you got armor on it.
Bert, we really the Department of Health frowns on there being animals in the kitchen areas. We can leave them outside.
Oh, what if I noticed you have a bit of a prairie dog problem out near the back? What if you just made some little dirt channels for the prairie dogs and just like put one of those little peep domes in the floor and the little prairie dogs could peep up through the dome so that you don't have any animals in the interior?
That is an excellent idea.
Thank you.
I mean, I'll run it by my regional manager, but... it sounds expensive, and why should we have animals here? What purpose is it serving? Help me sell Prairie Dog Dome to the people who are going to be paying for it.
You mentioned yourself earlier. You've been in one quick stop. You've been in them all. But have you been in the Peep Dome quick stop?
Yeah. If you put a big sign that said
peep dome, you'd get remarkable amounts of business. More business than you can handle at a peep dome quick stop.
They may be upset when they find out what that means, but...
But they'll be hungry and upset, won't they?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
they'll increase your sales of the Playboys behind the counter there?
Yes, fair enough. We still carry them.
I don't think I need to cite any more reasons other than that. I feel like that's absolutely ironclad.
To the uniqueness of mm-hmm. a...
And also you're doing great things for nature. You know, those prairie dogs must get so bored just popping out of their holes and barking at...
Sure, I don't know. I've never met nor interacted much with...
Oh, what about pop out of your hole at the Peep Dome Quick Stop?
pop out of your hole?
That's how some of us have our anatomy works. I mean...
Peep our hole! I'm crying. I'm sweating.
If you're going to not be immediately accepting of somebody's suggestion, you're going to make him cry.
I'm trying to stay in that character. And like, see, that's a cool thing that happens, you know, when you're in character, you're really endeavoring to stay in that character and to not break and laugh at what you know is funny, but just continue into that vortex of that character's mindset. But something like that, we were playing with it so beautifully, like a cat, if you will, a cat batting around a little crinkle toy. It got too much for me. And right now, like, my head hurts and I was crying from holding back my laughter. So everyone should try improvisation. It's good for you.
That is a good signal to stop the scene. When
right?
That is
yes. When it literally reaches a head, because your head hurts. Okay, I'll stop.
Yes. The bathrooms all do have stalls, do have proper walls, so you cannot peep. Let me just clarify that for if anyone
sure,
for future
we,
episodes.
We should put an asterisk that says no peep pot.
Yes. Oh, good. Not like some of those other roadside convenience stores where people are just staring at you doing the business.
Stop. No, yeah. No.
Oh, nope. How do they get away with it?
I'm going to take a detour. I don't want to go down that bit road. Oh, no.
In hilarious. Our nearly 4 years of doing this, I cannot think of one actual bathroom related scene that we have done. Amazing.
That might be a good thing.
What a common humor topic that is. And yet, maybe because of the distance, Bill likes to start things in the boardroom, and I guess the distance from the boardroom to the bathroom.
Just very distant, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like poor planning, really, to put the bathroom so far from the boardroom.
Yeah. Well, there is an executive washroom.
Of course there is. Not for peasants. That's
nearby. Yeah.
To connect the dots here, so I actually am a cat person right now. We had a dog and a cat, but the dog did not last as long. So the cat outlasted the dog. We never intended to be a cat family, but now we have an elderly cat. And we just redid our bathrooms, and the cat is not allowed in the bathrooms. Because it's not like, the tile is the great place to throw up in general.
Sure. I mean, yeah. But, well, the carpet, honestly, is better to throw up on. It's so much better to throw up on carpet.
I mean,
not for the person carpet,
that's just, what I'm saying for the cat. Yeah. Because I'm saying animals inevitably end up like throwing up on carpet
or couches. We could go on of different vomit locations.
We could. That's
really
we also don't the story have to.
The story was coming to in terms of animals sharing our spaces.
Shower if you must. Yeah. Well, I know there is some body humor from the ancient times, Mark. But did the ancients themselves, our great thinkers throughout history, did they ever mention toilet humor?
I'm trying to think if there's anything specifically, I'm sure in Aristophanes, I'm sure there is plenty.
Oh, sure.
In those, you know, those ancient
plays and things. Yeah.
Plays and things. But like in the Platonic dialogues, there's a lot of sex humor.
I was going to say there has to be a lot of sex humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But I can't think of a lot of, Socrates was not fond of the body. They're just, insofar as you are a philosopher, you have transcended the body. You're hanging out with the eternal, unchanging things. So I believe the Buddhists put it just straightforwardly, like each of us is just a bag of shit. That's like of shit and entrails. Like that's a Buddhist doctrine. So therefore, don't identify with that.
I haven't read that shit and entrail doctrine. I must have missed that in my spiritual studies.
It's not good in the pamphlet.
Yeah, right? It doesn't have the sparkly optics we desire for recruitment.
Yeah, the Beverly Hills Meditation Studio is not going to put that on the sign.
But that's a really interesting thought. The thought that to be so transcended and evolved to have disdain for your meat suit, right? Mm-hmm. To me, it's about using your physical real estate to express your transcendent and enlightened thoughts, right? Like,
sure.
We are souls who have chosen to have a human experience. And I think often, like, I'm 6 feet tall. Like, I'm not, nothing about me was meant to fit in. Like, from my mind to my body, I'm big, right? And I've had to have a lot of reconciliation with that. I'm like, why am I, you know, so tall and clothes don't fit? And I feel like I'm, you know, stick out so much. And then there's
like an axolotl.
Like an axolotl. Don't sing me the nighttime song before nighttime, though, or I'll go berserk. But so I've done a lot of work in ownership and celebration that my body is the conduit for the transcendent thought. Mm. So to celebrate the body and nourish it and love it and all of those things, because it is the house through which you're able to express your thoughts.
Yeah, to cause action.
Causation, cause action.
Socrates can have all the thoughts he wants. If he doesn't have a body, we wouldn't know about it.
If you don't have a strong, healthy body, like that's able to move and a voice able to speak, then you really can't do anything with your hoity-toity enlightenment.
Mm. Take that, smarty pants.
Take that!
smarty toga.
If you don't have a body, you can't wear pants or a toga.
Yeah.
For some reason, I'm getting the image of when you hold your mouth and your nose closed, and then you try to push as hard, you know, usually you do this on a plane to redo your ears, but you know, that your thoughts are just so bursting out that you're going to give yourself some kind of a stroke from your
too many ideas. Yeah.
Oh no.
You're giving them no way to get out. They have to come out through your ears.
Yes.
And then what do you got? You got bloody ear ideas.
Oh no. Not bloody ear ideas.
Those are not good philosophers that have bloody ear ideas. I don't like those at all. The ones that the ideas come out of their mouths and their writing implements, I prefer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mouths and pen. Mm-hmm.
But that is, you know, one of the preconceptions that we're closed off to other ways of expressing ourselves, that we should realize that, you know, just like music can be a form of philosophy, that improv can be itself a form of philosophy, can express mm-hmm. things that you just can't put into regular words. I think ear blood probably could do the same.
That's one of those.
I'm waiting for you to finish the sentence in a better way.
Well, I feel like bleeding out of ears is one of those apparent, seemingly minor symptoms that
is it minor?
I
thought only dead people really have this going.
I think you could be bleeding much worse out of your arm or leg, but the second you see just a trickle of blood out of an ear, it's like, hey, you know, it's far worse. Its severity is belied by its apparent. Well, it's just a little trickle of blood. But yeah, but it's coming out of somebody's ear.
You're coming out of your ear, which you know is most likely coming from your brain.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, it's a little bit of a higher stakes situation than like a cut on your arm, right?
It is a higher stakes, but it is not in proportion to the amount of blood. That's what I'm saying.
And this is why we share
trickle of ear blood.
We share our space with animals because they will get that ear blood before anybody notices. Yes.
But don't eat my eyes, please. I need to go get my cat eye protection goggles.
Yes, the ears are too cartilaginous. They won't.
Carnivore.
They're not going to get much out of them.
Yeah, you need, if you're going to eat ears, I think what you need is maybe like a soft brie to go with it, or maybe a nice hummus, or maybe some baba ganoush. You know, you need something that will pair well with the cartilaginosity of the ear.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is going to ever forget the photo of when our royal president was shot in the ear, and that protection dog immediately jumped up with a bottle of wine and started just snacking right away, just so that
and
so
the
that
Trader
nobody
Joe's
would
cracker
have to,
assortment ready to go.
It was truly an American moment.
Yes. Yeah.
Dog bless America.
I think you just ended the episode. I think that was wonderful. Thanks so much for hanging out some more. Were there any...
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was great. It was wonderful meeting you, Mary. Have we met before, Mary?
You seem very familiar. I think we might have met in Chicago.
Our paths have crossed at some point. Well, it's nice...
Where are you on planet Earth, Bill? You're in Chicago? Yeah, you look really familiar. And I feel like we've got tons of mutual friends as well.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Probably, yes, more than we can count.
I love that we were able to end on Dog Bless America.
Yes.
That was a delight. Thank you so much.
Oh, great. It was wonderful having you. It was wonderful having you.
And I will refer folks to the pre-chat that I had with Mary that if you did not see it on the feed that you're listening to this or watching it, you can find it on our main feed at philosophyimprov.com and, of course, on our Patreon, patreon.com/philosophyimprov, which includes the after talks that Bill and I might engage in right now after we kick Mary off so that we can say things with our mouths and our ears.
I was just about to say that, like, and your ears. Just put a little vial up to your ears to catch the blood trickles, and you can totally sell those at Peep Pop Dumb Quick Mart. I already forgot what we said.
I don't know that the Empty Street Quick Mart has an actual name yet. I think that one was a good candidate. So
it may just have a number. It may just be location 49A or something.
What if you could have all of them, right? Like, what if you could have the whole franchise and, like, yeah, like Bill was saying, like, each one is different. And now I'm just repeating exactly what you said.
Well, this is only the fourth or fifth episode that we've involved the recurring location. I think we need to start a wiki page to establish what the things are about it. I actually didn't remember my own name when I started that scene. So I'm glad you did, Bill.
Yes.
I was spacing out on my own name and was going to Google it. Of the character. Well, thank you so much, Mary. Yeah. Any final words of wisdom for the peoples or things to plug or anything?
If you are in Los Angeles, go to the PAC Theater, just in general, like go support the PAC. Like the indie improv scene needs you. And it's pretty fun and rich out here. We perform the second and fourth Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. We are a new team. We are Hot Uncle is our name.
Okay.
So I've got lots of performance-y things coming up, but that is going to be a regular run where you
very
can
fun, very fun.
See me and meet me and we can bleed out of our ears together.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Yeah, well, go get a Slim Jim at the Peep Pop 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 Mart.
Hey, let's do some post-game chatting. We haven't done that in a while, but we didn't go over an hour this time, so this seems like a good time to do that. What's up, Bill?
Nothing much. I started grad school.
You started grad school?
Correct, to get my teacher's license.
Wow, congratulations.
I've got one last career change in me. I'm not that old, but old enough to be like... I've, you know, been subbing for a while, and I feel like I could do this. I'm already doing it, and I should get 3 times the pay and a pension. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, so I've started that, and...
And you got in with these schools.
Hopefully one will take me on. We'll see. Exciting, but crazy and boring, and already proving to be more work than I thought it would be. Boo work.
All right.
But that's that.
But you're not so busy that we will never record another one of these again. Or is that what you wanted to tell me? Probably not on the air.
Maybe not on the air. Listeners, come the fall, when my schedule really kicks in, we may have to negotiate. Certainly here for the summer. But a big drop in the fall. Yeah.
All right. Well, people enjoy it while you got it. We'll see how things go going forward.
I didn't mean to air this in front of everybody, Mark.
This is our lives are essentially public. This is all things we should share with the wider populace.
How are you, Mark? What's on your horizon? There's my horizon. There's something very big on my horizon. How is yours looking? Blue skies.
I'm going to Gen Con in a couple of weekends.
Okay.
I'm going with my son. I found the photos from the only time I went there with him before, and it was 10 years ago when he was like 15, and now he's 25. So it had been so long since I was involved that my brother-in-law does it every year. So like I have some eye on.
And you're close. 45 minutes? Is it still in Lake Geneva?
Oh, no, sorry. This is in Indianapolis.
I thought didn't Gen Con used to be in the old days, like in the 80s?
Yeah, not when I was involved. Okay. So no, it is a good 5-6 hour drive, something ridiculous like that.
Oh, yeah. It outgrew Lake Geneva a long time ago.
Yes. So there's this registration process where you pick all your games and you put them on your list. And then
sure. You
have to like wait until the moment that they open up. You know, the real register, you already got your ticket for the main thing, and then you submit everything. And it's just a matter of like how quickly you hit the button or, you know, whether.
Yeah.
I had my son mostly put them on his list, and I put only a couple on my list that were sort of overlapping, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a much better spot than he did. So he got a bad spot, and we got almost nothing.
Oh, no.
And then the couple of things that I put in, we got. But then I didn't understand that you have to like go check out within the next 15 minutes. And I was like out to dinner or something. So I,
so
we have about two things in the entire 3 or 4 day.
And again, I only know of Gen Con from back when I was a kid, and they always advertise it in Dragon Magazine and the.
Lots of board games. Yes. And lots of RPGs.
Yeah. Mostly RPGs or board games. Or
I mean, it's a lot of both.
Okay.
And I think I'll mostly do board games because the RPGs didn't sign up for. So I don't think I can get. We'll see. I know that it is possible to go there with very little plan or to sign up at the last minute and still find plenty of stuff to do.
Now, do you actually play the games when you show up? Like if you sign up for some war game or something and you show up there and you get put on it to play. Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Yes. So that's why you're signing up for these like groups of four or groups of six I was signing up like only give me a ticket if I can also get. You know, a second one so I can do it with my son and you try out new stuff. And those board games are expensive.
Yeah. Well, you said our life is an open book here. Top three games. What were you signing up for? What were you hoping for? Don't be afraid to say something I've never heard of. There's a good chance I may know of it.
You know, I hadn't done like enough research before I signed up. Okay. So I kind of looked through Board Game Geek's like top hottest games, and then I scrolled through them for a few that looked especially interesting, and I could not tell you right now what they are because I have not played them, is the point.
Okay.
I know that they I played a lot of the video game Don't Starve, and there was a Don't Starve board game that I was interested in.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, I didn't even put that on my list because it was given like every hour.
Yeah.
But actually, they're all sold out. So,
oh, no.
And there's also a Fallout one, and I probably in both cases, I figure a board game that is based on a video game is probably not going to be that great. Like, you get some original IP.
Sure.
But I'm still, like, curious, and at least it's something I have heard of, whereas there are just so many options that I don't know what this is. I don't have time to look up what this is. I know last time I was there, I played, and one that I was kind of interested in this time, but Twilight Imperium.
Oh, yeah.
Is one that's sort of a Risk thing, but it's, like, really, but I think.
It's huge.
Yeah, so it was, like, an eight-hour block. And I wasn't quite up for that, but there were some 6-hour block ones that I was interested in.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sure that there's a lot of unwritten rules about like, you better have watched the How to Play video before you roll up. I'm going to say that.
Usually it says no. Usually no. That these are specifically ones that the reason it's tickets is like somebody is putting this on. So it's either the game designer or it's just enthusiasts, you know, the DM, whatever.
So
they will walk you through how to play. But it'll say in the description, like only for established players, only for, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know that I see the point of the ones that I actually know how to play, other than there are a few games that I have and I'm...
You just want to flex. Get in there and flex a little bit.
Blanking on the names right now, but that like, I can very rarely get anybody to play with me because...
Yes.
You know, it's got to be one of those special get-togethers.
Oh, yes.
And does not involve my wife, who has kind of a 2-hour limit on things.
Yes.
And complexity limit before it just starts to get sad and annoying.
Yeah. No, we have got a board game crew and we were doing real good for a while. And then life and other people's things have been a bit of an issue, but we try to play when we can.
Was it hardcore? Was it like, was it, is it Gloomhaven? Is that the one that, like,
we've done some Gloomhaven, the
that takes 6 months a lot of to that. Play.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically like an RPG, but it's a board.
Yeah. Someone had the follow-on Winters of Our Discontent, whatever it's called, and it was much more portable and not as many doodads and things. We've done that. A good mix is we'll play some heavy stuff. We'll bust out some heavies. And,
Terra Mystica, that's the one I was thinking of. That's sort of one of the fatter games that I have. That I, in fact, I got the iPad version so that I could play it in some way.
Play with yourself.
Yes.
And you've played Twilight Struggle before.
No.
But that company has a number of these, like, kind of redo history kinds of games. Twilight Struggle is very, it's definitely, it may still be in the top 10 on Board Game Geek, but it's kind of a replaying the Cold War. And it's really good and very, very nice, but it definitely has a, if you're playing at someone who's never played, you will destroy them. Kind of.
That's usually how it works. And usually I've played one more time than a lot of the people that I'm playing with.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's been a long enough that I still have to relearn how to play. That's typically how it works. So it's still reading the directions. But, you know, sometimes I will be very like, okay, I'm going to watch the videos. I'm going to be ready to teach this to people with some speed.
Yeah.
The one time I did go to Gen Con, it felt very decadent because a game night, a 4-hour block.
Yeah.
But like 3 days straight. What is that about? What can I even do that? I have the stamina? So we'll see.
Well, it should be fun. I'm jealous.
Well, come on down. Buy a ticket at the last second.
Yeah. I'm down at the Parcheesi table. Not the Chinese checkers.
They probably have great. That.
I think. Like stomping it, owning it. Just poor children just getting just crushed by me. Which would be pretty funny, actually. That would be maybe good enough for the bit, I feel.
All right. Any post episode reflections before we? I mean, Mary was great. We know that.
But. Yeah, fun and big personality, ready to dive in and have fun. That's nice, isn't it?
That's how you do it, potential guests.
Mm-hmm.
That's your model.
Yes.
Be ready with a silly voice. Don't just talk about not doing a parrot voice. Do the parrot voice.
Yeah.
All right, bye everyone. That's not it. All right, wind it up. I should sell my soul. Bankrupt. 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 Bankrupt.